one of the things that struck me while Alice was speaking, there's the famous contemptuous description of Israeli soldiers, Israeli liberal soldiers, as shooting and crying. And I was thinking that through her description of some of the soldiers. They may cry at what they're doing, but they still carry on shooting. Somebody who may know some of the context of that is Chaim Bereshit, who at one time was an Israeli soldier before he became a resistor. Chaim is professor of cultural studies at the University of East London. Was, for those of you who remember that far back, a member of the editorial collective of Hamsin magazine, a trailblazing magazine of Israelis, Jews and Palestinians and Arabs in general way back in the 70s and 80s. And is also author, among other books, of Introduction to the Holocaust and the Gulf War and the New World Order. So Chaim, I hope, will tell us more about what this means in Israel and for Israel.
Thanks. I prepared a talk with maps and so on, but with your agreement, I will not do it, partly because there isn't a way of projecting those maps, but also because I don't trust myself to do the talk I planned. I was listening to Alice with wonderment and with admiration, because I think that the ISM and the anti-globalization movement is probably the best thing that happened in my book in the last decade. And the for a long time we were waiting for some development in this area, kind of global development that would counter the globalization of violence and money. And I think what we know is happening and what Alice is telling us about is extremely moving. And unfortunately, I know the area all too well, because I was in Gaza at least twice a week in the 6 years that I was in Israel. I'll just say a couple of sentences about my background. musical accompaniment. I am Jewish, and I'm a Jew, Jewish, you know, as the joke has it. I'm Israeli, I'm a socialist, and I don't think that there is any problem in being all those things. Indeed, I don't think I'm less or more Jewish than Mr. Sharon. Unfortunately, I have no other thing in common with him. The thing I want to say, and I promised you a sentence about myself, which I think is interesting in the context of what Alice was saying. Most of my family was destroyed in the Holocaust in different concentration camps and in the Warsaw Ghetto. And I was born in a refugee camp in Italy immediately after the war, the two people who survived the camps. I'm not saying this in order to elicit some sympathy, because this is nonsensical on this audience, obviously. I'm saying this in order to explain why it's so easy for me to understand the Palestinians in Gaza and in the rest of Palestine. It is very easy for me to understand them, because they live in a combination of a concentration camp and Gaza, and Warsaw Ghetto, for so many years that we have stopped counting. And I think that Jews cannot forget. Others may, at the cost, forget that, but I don't think Jews can forget where they come from and what they're doing. Now, in terms of what is happening in Israel, I don't think that there is the slightest difference, and I'm sure some people will rise and dispute this. I don't think there is the slightest difference between the different Israeli governments in one important respect. The Zionist project was, is, and will be about the dispossession and the expulsion of the Palestinian population of Palestine. Full stop. It was this, it is this, it will be this, and Israeli government have done it, and it doesn't matter if in government was Barak, or now Sharon, or Netanyahu before him. There was no difference. The spate of building actually went up incredibly. I was living in Israel throughout the dreaded, horrible period of the Baraki government. And Barak has spent 18 months not meeting any Palestinian, having won the elections with an amazing majority, having won both the Israeli trust, but also the Palestinian trust, you have to understand and remember. There was indeed possible a real change in the air. And what Barak did is he managed to always get close to something and very courageously avoid doing it. He managed to go to Geneva and meet with Clinton and Assad before Assad died and come back very proud because he has managed to keep, you remember the debate was about 10 meters from the Kinneret, yeah, the Sea of Galilee. And he was chided by Netanyahu that said, you're going to allow the Syrians to put their dirty feet into the Kinneret. And he came back and he said, no, the Syrians will not put their dirty feet in the Kinneret. So, a great achievement, yeah? He managed to go to Tava, he managed to go to Washington, he managed to do all those things. And at the last moment, he always pulled out. He always built, and we can see now how Sharon does it. They have different styles, but they have one aim, one program, and one way of achieving it. Now, in terms of the roadmap to nowhere, the roadmap is not going anywhere because it can't go anywhere. There's nowhere to go. The different Israeli government have refused, are refusing, and I suppose will refuse for the foreseeable future. And this is also depending on us. I'm not saying there's nothing to do. That's the last thing I want you to take from my talk. They are refusing to give back to the Palestinians what? If Oslo was carried out, the Palestinians would have, if indeed an Israeli government found it in itself to be truthful to what Oslo was putting down, they would have gone out of the West Bank and Gaza. The West Bank and Gaza, I'm sure you know, I mean, you know, I've got at least 15 friends in this audience, so I know that you all know that the West Bank and Gaza combined are 22% of Palestine. So what the Israeli government is refusing to do is to give the Palestinians back 22% of their own country. And they wonder why no Palestinian leader is able to persuade the Palestinian people to actually accept 17 or 47 or 32, depending on what model of nonsense you are ascribing to, of those little ghettos that will be connected with virtual bridges, or probably will be connected by the internet. The only Palestine the Israelis are offering is the Palestine of the internet. That is the only country they're offering. Now, the water, you know, Israelis drink 41 times more, they don't drink 41 times more than Palestinians because even Israelis can't drink that much. No, they use 41 times more water than Palestinians. Well, what does it mean? Just think about it for a moment. What does it mean? It's not just that they have very large swimming pools in the occupied territory, which of course they do. It also means that the Palestinians don't have proper water supply for their agriculture, which is the only industry, such as it is, that they are still running willy-nilly every now and then, every here and there. Yeah, there is no other industry that they were allowed to develop all those years. It wasn't even allowed to open a bank during the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Yeah, so the water is a very interesting issue. I've got here a map that shows you how the water is divided in the West Bank. And most of the water south of the Northern Galilee is coming from the West Bank. Most of the water in Israel is West Bank water. Yeah? It's the water of the Jordan, but also it's the water of the mountain range or hill range. It's not really mountainous, but you know, hilly range which goes north to south. And the western approach of those hills is producing most of the water that Israelis and Palestinians drink. And I say Israelis and Palestinians, Israelis drink and Palestinians don't. So you can't even you know, have your tomatoes growing. I'm not even talking about having a wash or, you know, cleanliness or, you know, having your house kept. I'm talking about a very simple thing. You can't grow anything because the water will be cut off for a week at a time. Yeah? I was in Gaza and my Gazan hosts were, you know, apologizing to me, an Israeli, that they can't give me water to drink when we are having lunch of Peter's because the water was turned off. So you just imagine what you feel like, yeah? And why I'm upset today, and I'm normally upset about this topic, you can imagine that, you know, people like Alice or myself that had to endure this for quite a while are upset if they care about human beings. But I'm upset today because I phoned a friend of mine in Gaza to say, why doesn't he bloody hell answer my emails for a week? Only to find that his niece was shot dead by an Israeli helicopter 3 days ago. Bearing in mind she was only 3 years old, I rather doubt that she was a suicide bomber. Now, of course, she may have become one, but that chance was taken away. She probably would have become one. Because by the time she would grow up, there'll be nothing else to do. Now, a minority does it. That minority grows. Now, I'm totally against it. I'm totally against anyone committing suicide. However, is it very difficult to understand? Even Thierry Blair understood that, you know, and that's saying something. Yeah? Is it very difficult to understand what those people are actually undergoing? I mean, for Jews, this should be very simple to understand. We saw how many Jewish communities actually fought back the Nazis, and with what success. Now, the power relations are not that different. I'm not saying that the Israeli government is a Nazi government. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that, you know, these are Nazi policies. What I'm saying is that the power relations between what the Israelis are able to do to the Palestinians and what would happen to Jews before in Europe are strikingly similar. Now, I want to come to, in the end, to what I think should also be remembered. We can all, and, you know, I lived in Jerusalem for 6 years, and I've managed to make a life of it because I could go to see my Palestinian friends whenever I wanted. And we had, you know, a human relationship and a professional relationship and a political relationship that I now wish will be possible in the future, but I know it won't, not in my lifetime probably. However, in I was working in Gaza on building a media school, and indeed we got money from Mr. Clinton, you know, the Y River. You remember the Y River project and all those nonsense projects that were all happening, and meet from the ESF in Europe, and built the beginnings of a media school in Gaza. The day it had to open was the 1st of October 2000, and you know the rest of the story. Yeah. And I spent the time from the 30th of September having a very similar experience to Alice in Jerusalem, in a place called Baqa, which, for those of you that are interested, is also an Arab neighborhood that was taken over in 48. And the the whole summer of 2001, not a single night could we sleep. And we were on the Israeli side. We were on the side of the powerful. Nobody shot at us. We, every night, heard the tanks. They were about half a mile away, yeah, shooting into Bethlehem, into Bet Jala, into Bet Sahur. They definitely targeted the Christian community. And you know why, so I won't explain. And artillery, the helicopters, all night, every night. And why did I leave Israel? And why am I telling you that you have to be active as Jews? Because when I went to get bread, when I went to a cinema, when I met people in the street, nobody would talk to you about what happened at night. What is this? I asked myself. You know, Poles were sitting in Warsaw, seeing what happens in the ghetto, and we've seen it in films now, and still going on about their business, in their daily and routine business, because life must go on. That is what we as Israelis are doing. And that cannot be condoned, cannot even be understood. I don't understand it. If you said to people, searchingly but carefully, did you sleep last night? People would not talk to you. What were they doing last night? If they did sleep, I'm terrified. If they didn't sleep, I mean, nobody was shooting at them, but they knew that human beings are shot at a mile away, half a mile away, every night. They knew that human beings that have nothing to do with the conflict, they just happen to be there in their homes, are killed because they've seen it in the papers. And yet they have managed to close themselves to this, to block their feelings. So I want to conclude. I'm, as an Israeli Jew, as a human being, as a British citizen, as a socialist, as a nice guy, asking you to help the Israelis lose the occupation. I'm asking you to help the Israelis lose that plague that has plagued their society as it has the Palestinian society for those 40 years, if not more, actually. Yeah? Because not only are the Palestinians unable to live properly, the Israelis are unable to live properly. Sharon promised them peace and security. Actually, he promised them security and peace. You know, a little difference, an interesting difference. They now have, indeed, security and peace. The day after the roadmap, that this famous joke, was discussed and signed and agreed, he sent his people to kill Rantisi. Let us remember another great Israeli tzaddik, Mr. Peres, that when he thought things are going too well, sent his team to kill the engineer, if you remember. There is a pattern, and we have to identify it, we have to admit it, and we have to fight it to the very end. They will do everything to make you think that they want peace. I even believed it once. And most of you have believed it. I know that. They will do everything to make sure that people in the West believe that they want peace. They will go to meetings, they will sign documents, they'll do all that. And then they will make damn sure that there is no chance of any of this happening. I tell you that the only thing that will stop this and will save the Israelis from themselves and will help us to have a society we can live in as human beings with the Palestinians, because they want it and they don't hate us. I never met hate, and I was ashamed in a sense that they don't hate me more. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why aren't they hateful? What's going on? Well, they're wise. You know why? They're wise like the Jews were once. That's what I want to say. So if you are active in every way you can, if you are making sure in every shop you go that everyone knows that because they hold Israeli products, you don't buy them. And I said this when I was in Israel, and I'm saying it now. If you bring about the destruction of the Israeli economy, which Mr. Sharon is doing such a great job of, and you help him in that destruction, more Israelis will come to their bloody senses and will realize that justice is not divisible, peace is not divisible, humanity is not divisible. You cannot divide them. We will have peace if they will have peace. We will have water if they will have water. We will have human existence if they have it. Thank you.